and recite to them the news of Him to whom we gave knowledge of our signs, but He detached Himself from them. So shaitan pursued Him, and He became of the deviators. This is who? The person who was given the knowledge of the book. The person who was given the Qur'an. But what happened? He left it. When he left it, shaitan followed him. Because remember that shaitan is always watching. When is it that he can find us in a state of weakness so that he can grab us, he can attack us, he can make us slip? So when a person adheres to the book of Allah, then he is fortified, he is protected. But the moment he leaves it, what happens? Shaitan pursues him. Shaitan pursues him. And when he pursues him, he becomes his friend. And when he becomes his friend, then that person, despite having knowledge, despite having previously been very good, what happens? فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ Then he became of the deviators. He became of those who are misguided. The fact is that the person who seeks this world, the Prophet ﷺ said that he will certainly suffer with respect to his afterlife. And the person who seeks the afterlife, then he will certainly suffer with respect to the matters of this world. So the Prophet ﷺ advised us, فَأَضِرُّوا بِالْفَانِي لِلْبَاقِ Suffer loss for this temporary life. Why? It's temporary. It's going to be over very soon. But do not suffer loss in the hereafter. Do not compromise on that. So when a person leaves the book of Allah, he leaves it and he says, let me go enjoy. Let me go have fun. It's okay. Why have I made my life so difficult? Enjoy. So many people are having fun. You know, for instance, these days we're coming here, you could easily be doing something else. Within a few weeks, children will be home. This is your time to enjoy your morning. When you can sleep, you can rest, you can cook, a few days left before Ramadan. But when you choose to come here, why do you come here? To spend a little bit more time with the Qur'an. Because this is our safety rope. Right? This is our safety rope. If we leave it, we can fall. If we leave it, we will forget it. So what happens when a person leaves it? Then shaitan follows him. And if we had willed, we could have elevated him thereby. But he adhered instead to the earth and followed his own desire. So his example is like that of the dog. If you chase him, he pants. If you leave him, he still pants. You see, what prevents a person from adhering to the Qur'an is what? It's his desires. Think about it. Even in the month of Ramadan, when we want to recite the Qur'an, or outside of the month of Ramadan, what prevents us from reciting the Qur'an? I want to sleep. Let me watch something. Let me just go somewhere and have fun. I just have a few minutes. Let me just lie down. Let me go cook this. Let me go do this. Let me go do that. We're following our desires. This is preventing us from the book of Allah. And in the greater picture also, when a person does not follow the Qur'an, what is preventing him? It's his desires. So he clings to the earth. And Allah says this person then becomes like a dog. That if you chase him, he pants. If you leave him, he still pants. That is the example of the people who denied our signs. So relate the stories that perhaps they will give thought and not make this mistake of chasing this world and leaving the deen. So here a specific character is described. The one whom Allah gave deen. Allah gave him ilm. He was tested, this person, and he fell in love with the dunya. He left the deen for the dunya. So then he becomes like a dog, greedy for more, never happy with what he has. Because this is the state of a dog, right? No matter how much you give to the dog, it will eat it. Isn't that true? Why is it that dogs must be taken for walks? Why? What's the reason? Okay, better digestion and exercise also. Why do they need it? Because otherwise, they will gain too much weight. It happens. Dogs also become obese. Why? Because when they're treated as pets, then they can eat a lot. And when they eat a lot, they don't stop eating. They will even eat their own puke. They do. Just search on the internet. Why did my dog eat his own puke? Google it and you'll find out why. It happens because a dog, what does that represent? Greed for more. Not satisfied with what it has. always searching for more. If you ever observe a dog, what is it like? Always looking here, there, here, there. Anything, any movement, not satisfied. It has so much, but still it is not satisfied. And this is the reality of the person who leaves the Qur'an for the dunya. That no matter how much of the dunya he gets, he's not satisfied. You attack him, his tongue is sticking out. You leave him, his tongue is sticking out. He has something, he's greedy for more. He doesn't have, he wants more. So all of us, we need to think about how much we pursue the world also. Is the dunya our priority? Or is the deen our priority? If the deen is our priority, if Jannah is our goal, then we have to give something up right now. We have to give part of our sleep. We have to give some of our comfort. We have to leave it. Some of it at least. Why? So that we can have more in the afterlife. How evil an example is that of the people who denied our signs and used to wrong themselves. Whoever Allah guides, He is the rightly guided. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي. And whoever He sends astray, it is those who are the losers. And we have certainly created for hell many of the jinn and mankind. Remember, there are only two ways. Only two ways. Either the way to Jannah or the way to hell. So if a person is not on the path to paradise, then he is going to end up somewhere else. Whatever way a person adopts, then he will end up at the destination that path leads to. So there are many people who are on the way to hellfire. Why? Because of the actions that they're doing, the actions that they're choosing to do. They have hearts with which they do not understand. And remember, when a person, he does not understand in his heart, when the heart stops working, it is starved, it is neglected, when it is put to sleep, it is drugged, it is malnourished. How is it drugged? Through the pleasures of this world. Through the addictions of worldly pleasures. Then what happens? The heart even stops working. It stops thinking. It stops understanding. They have eyes with which they do not see. And they have ears with which they do not hear. Those are like livestock. Rather, they are more astray. It is they who are the heedless. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. And to Allah belongs the best names. So invoke Him by them. And leave the company of those who practice deviation concerning His names. Allah has most beautiful names. And what are those names? The names that He has informed us of. The names that the Messenger ﷺ has taught us about. So what does Allah say? Call Him by those names. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has 99 names, 100 less one, minus one. And whoever knows them will go to paradise. Knowing the names doesn't just mean memorizing the names. It means that a person, first of all, memorizes them, he knows them. He understands them, and then he makes dua to Allah by those names, and he learns from those names about Allah, so he recognizes Allah through Allah's names. And he worships Allah correctly then. Because how can we worship Allah if we don't recognize Him? Think about it, if we don't know who a person is, can we treat them properly? Can we give them the right that they deserve? No. You know, for example, a person could come in, and say, I would like to volunteer. And they're told, okay, can you please put the chairs here? I'm like, sure, I can do it. However, I could do more than just putting the chairs. What can you do? They show their resume. They have an MBA. Or they have some other kind of big degree or experience. And they say, I can set up your sound system. So what's better, that they should be setting up the sound system or putting the chairs? Chairs even we can do, right? With sound system, we cannot do that. Isn't that so? So when it comes to human beings, don't we have to know them in order to deal with them correctly and properly? We have to. What about Allah then? Don't we have to know Him? Don't we have to recognize Him? وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Call upon Him. Worship Him. Through His names, by His names. And leave those people who deviate concerning His names. What is this deviation concerning Allah's names? Giving Him names that He does not have. Changing the names that Allah has told us about. Or leaving those names. These are all different forms of ilhad, of deviation. Think about it. Who can tell us about the names of Allah? Allah. Because He knows about Himself better than anybody else. The Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because He is the one who Allah taught. So can we make up names for Allah? No. Can we change His names? No. Why? Because that would be a crime. What if somebody changed our name? We don't like it at all. In some families, it's the norm that people change each other's names, right? They just alter them and they don't get offended. Like for example, Umar is called Ummu, right? Uthman is called something else, just in love. But other people get very offended. And okay, at home you can be called that. But at work, no way. Never call me that. And then what happens over time? That as children, people don't mind. As children, we don't mind that, okay, Raza is being called Rosie. But then what happens as he grows up? Don't call me Rosie. Rosie is very feminine. My name is Radha. Right? So don't change my name. We get offended. Even if somebody misspells our name, we get offended. Mispronounces our name, we get offended. Allah's name, what right do we have to change it, to alter it? We don't have that right. And many people, they misunderstand the names of Allah. Because they have learned that typical song or list of the names that are set to be the names of Allah. But all of them are not actually authentic names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have evidence in the Quran or Sunnah. So make yourself aware of the correct names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we learn about from the Quran and Sunnah. And Alhamdulillah, this one is based on that list, on the correct list, which is from the Quran and Sunnah. So make sure today you read those names, and the translation is also there, the meaning is also there. And Alhamdulillah, we do have a card in the bookstore also, so make sure to purchase them, and see what the names of Allah are. Because how do we get to know Him? Through His names. سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Those who change the names of Allah, those who deviate concerning His names, they will be recompensed for what they have been doing. And among those we created is a community which guides by truth and thereby establishes justice. But those who deny our signs, we will progressively lead them to destruction from where they do not know. And I will give them time. Indeed, my plan is firm. Those enjoying freedom today, oppressing others, should never think that they will forever remain like this. This life is short. Then do they not give thought? There is in their companion no madness. He is not but a clear warner before a bad outcome. Do they not look into the realm of the heavens and the earth? This is an invitation to reflect. And everything that Allah has created, and think that perhaps their appointed time has come near. So in what statement hereafter will they believe? Allah has kept several ways for mankind to obtain guidance from. But some people do not accept. Why? Following desires. You see, fighting the whole world is easy. But fighting your own self is the most difficult thing to do. Making somebody admit their fault is easy. But making ourselves admit our fault is very difficult. But this is most necessary for guidance. Whoever Allah sends astray, there is no guide for him. And he leaves them in their transgression, wandering blindly. They ask you, O Prophet, about the hour. When is its arrival? Say, its knowledge is only with my Lord. None will reveal its time except him. It lays heavily upon the heavens and the earth. The mountains, the clouds, the angels, they are so afraid about the hour. And when it comes to man, what does he wonder? What do we think? Oh, when will it be? When will it be? As if we are impatient for it. None will reveal its time except him, because only Allah knows. They ask you as if you are familiar with it. Say, its knowledge is only with Allah. But most of the people do not know. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked by Jibreel, when is the hour? He said, the one who is being asked does not know any better than the one who is asking. Only Allah knows. This is one of those matters which are part of the unseen, whose knowledge is only with Allah Azza wa Jal. And remember, from hadith we learn that Friday is the day when the day of judgment will occur. And whenever it is Friday, what happens? What happens? This creation is terrified. The mountains, it's heavy upon them. The clouds, the angels, it's heavy upon them. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ Say, O Prophet, that I hold not for myself the power of benefit or harm. I cannot benefit myself. I cannot protect myself from harm. خير comes from who? Only Allah. شر, who can avert evil? Only Allah. Except what Allah has willed. And if I knew the unseen, I could have acquired much wealth, and no harm would have touched me. But we see that in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, he suffered a lot. Isn't that so? There was a time when some people accused Aisha radiallahu anha of a great sin. And the Prophet ﷺ did not know what the reality was. For 30 days, for a whole month, he was in pain and no wahi came. The Prophet ﷺ did not know. Only when Allah told him did he come to know that Aisha was innocent. So in this whole time he was neutral, but he was sad. So he's made to say over here that if I had control over the unseen, if I had knowledge, I would not have let any harm reach me. And we see that at the Battle of Khaybar, some people, they offered the Prophet ﷺ meat that was poisoned, and he put it in his mouth. He spat it out, but the poison was so strong that he swallowed part of it. Its traces remained. And it affected him until his death. I am not except a warner and a bringer of good tidings to a people who believe. So if the Prophet ﷺ did not have such knowledge, such control, then who amongst mankind can have after him? But what happens when we need some help? We look at the other person as if they have full ability to help us. You know, that hope in our eyes, that faith in them, that trust in them, that yes, you will do it, you'll do it for me. And then what happens? They can't do it because they're weak. So who is it that we need to trust on? Who is it that we need to beg? Allah. It is He who created you from one soul and created from it its mate, that He might dwell in security with her. And when He covers her, she carries a light burden and continues therein. And when it becomes heavy, they both invoke Allah their Lord. If you should give us a good child, we will surely be among the grateful. But when He gives them a good child, sound and healthy, they ascribe partners to Him concerning that which He has given them. Exalted is Allah above what they associated with Him. This is also a mistake that we make. When we are in need, we ask Allah. But then when He fulfills our need, we forget Him. And we thank everybody else. أَيُشْرِكُونَ مَا لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ Do they associate with Him those who create nothing and they are themselves created? And the false deities are unable to give them help, nor can they help themselves. Even people, they can barely help themselves. How can they help us? And if you believers invite them to guidance, they will not follow you. It is all the same for you whether you invite them or you are silent. Have you ever been to the doctor's office only to find out that the doctor is on a leave because they're sick? Huh? Why? Because they themselves are weak. So even when we go to the doctor, even when we go to our mother, even when we go to our husband for help, ask them. But remember that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ Ultimately, help comes only from Allah. You try to share your problems with somebody, hoping to, you know, relax. But then what happens? They tell you their problems, which makes you even more worried. Right? So peace and comfort comes from what? Relying upon Allah alone. And if you believers invite them to guidance, they will not follow you. It is all the same for you whether you invite them or you are silent. Indeed, those you call upon besides Allah are merely servants like you. So let us not ask people believing that they can help, whether they are dead or alive. Let us ask only Allah. So call upon them and let them respond to you if you should be truthful. Meaning try it. Go take the mountain of problems that you're carrying and try to offload it on another person. See how you feel. Do they have feet by which they walk? This is particularly about the idols. Or do they have hands by which they strike? Or do they have eyes by which they see? Or do they have ears by which they hear? Say, call your partners and then conspire against me and give me no respite. Let's see what they're able to do. Indeed, إِنَّ وَلِيِّيَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابِ وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ Indeed, my protector is Allah, the one who has sent down the book for my guidance, for my instruction. And He is an ally to the righteous. So those who believe in Him, who follow His orders, who adhere to His book, then Allah also helps them. He also guides them. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ And those you call upon besides Him are unable to help you, nor can they help themselves. And if you invite them to guidance, they do not hear. And you see them looking at you while they do not see. Such people do not receive guidance. Now what to do with these people? خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ Take what is given freely. Or hold on to عَفْو, meaning pardon. Hold on to forgiveness. Meaning, whenever you're dealing with people, deal with forgiveness. Show forgiveness. Show pardon. Let go. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. Enjoin what is good. And turn away from those who are ignorant. Don't think too much about what they say to you. Don't bother to argue with them, because you will only get stressed out. These three pieces of advice that are given over here, they're so important. Because whenever we're dealing with people, are there times when they will bother us? When they will disobey us? They will not follow instructions? Children? Adults? What is the rule that Allah is giving us? خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. Hold on to pardon. Meaning whenever you're dealing with people, deal with pardon. Meaning show forgiveness. Overlook their mistakes. Overlook their errors. Don't think about their mistakes too much. Because if you think about the mistakes of the people of the world, then what will happen? You'll never be able to improve your condition. You'll never be able to relax. And وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. Instruct that which is good. Tell people about that which is good. And أَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Turn away from those who are ignorant. And if an evil suggestion comes to you from shaitan, does that come? Very frequently. Negative thoughts, an urge to sin, an urge to yell, to fight, to answer back. Then seek refuge in Allah. Indeed, He is hearing and knowing. He knows the situation that you're in. He hears the thoughts that are going on in your mind. So seek refuge with Allah against the shaitan. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Indeed, those who fear Allah, when an impulse touches them from shaitan. إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. A suggestion comes to them from shaitan. What do? تَذَكَّرُوا. They remember. And at once they have insight. They have insight. وَإِخْوَانُهُمْ. But their brothers, other people, what happens to them? The devils increase them in error. Then they do not stop short. Because think about it. Whenever we are in some uncomfortable situation, when we are getting angry, when we have the urge to do something wrong, and remember, this has come from shaitan. So there are some people who remember Allah at that time. Who remember, this is my test. And then what happens? فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Then they can see things clearly. They can see things clearly. This is a test. It's as if they can take themselves out of that situation and they can view it from outside. And when you can view it from outside, then what happens? You take the emotion out of it. When you take the emotion out of it, then you can think logically, you can respond properly, and then you can work towards a solution. But when you do not have insight, when your eyes are not working, when you cannot see the situation completely, your vision is fogged by anger, by personal vengeance or something like that, then what happens? You can't see. You're angry. You're being driven by anger. You're being driven by the urge to take revenge, to respond with the like. And what happens when you cannot see? Then you cannot work towards islah. So what happens? Instead of the problem going away, it only gets worse. The devils increase them in error. Then they do not stop short. They do not stop short. So any time that feeling of anger, impatience comes, you know, whether it's against your husband or your children or whoever it is, just stop and think of yourself as if you're stepping out of that situation. And then look. Look, okay, what's the problem over here? Like, for example, if a child is misbehaving. Let me give you an example. Your child is misbehaving, not listening to you. You're telling them, no. You're advising them, you're giving them a suggestion, irritated at everything. So now, if you get offended, oh, how dare my 3-year-old daughter disrespect me. Let me teach her a lesson. You try to teach her a lesson, she'll never get it. What do you need to do? Take that emotion out. Don't feel offended. Think, what is it that I have to do? Think, this is my test from Allah. Do istighfar. Seek Allah's help. And think logically, and you will know what to do. وَإِخْوَانُهُمْ يَمُدُّونَهُمْ فِي الْغَيِّ ثُمَّ لَا يُقْصِرُونَ. And when you, O Prophet, do not bring them a sign, they say, why have you not contrived it? Why don't you just make it up? Say, I only follow what is revealed to me from my Lord. This Qur'an is enlightenment from your Lord, and guidance, and mercy for people who believe. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. An important instruction is being given over here. When the Qur'an is recited for you, then listen to it, and pay attention, that you may receive mercy. Notice, it's not just listening, but paying attention also. Because if we just focus on the listening, and we don't pay attention, then what will happen? you will also fall asleep. Huh? So listen and pay attention. So for example, right now, how can you pay attention? By listening and following along. Actively reading also, taking notes also. وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. And remember your Lord within yourself in humility and in fear without being apparent in speech. Meaning sometimes do dhikr loudly and sometimes do dhikr softly. Softly meaning like a whisper and sometimes even in a more hidden way. Where? In your heart. In different ways. What does that mean? That do dhikr all the time. Because sometimes we're able to do dhikr loudly. Sometimes we're not able to do that. We have to do it softly. And sometimes we can't even do that. So how do we do it? Don't even move your mouth because you're so tired. Just do dhikr in your heart. So, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ. Remember Allah at all times. But especially in the mornings and the evenings. So salah should be performed morning and evening. And dhikr also must be done morning and evening. And do not be among the heedless. Those who don't do dhikr, what do they become? Heedless. In a hadith we learn that whenever the sun rises, there is no creation of Allah the Exalted except that it glorifies and praises Allah. Every single creature at that time, what is it doing? It's glorifying and praising Allah. Haven't you ever noticed that? Birds, what happens to them? Chirping, chirping, and then all of a sudden, quiet. Quiet. Isn't that amazing? Why are they chirping? What's going on at that time? They are doing tasbih of Allah. So all of the creation glorifies and praises Allah except the shaitan and the a'ta bani Adam. Except the shaitan and the most rebellious of the children of Adam. It was asked, who are the a'ta bani Adam? It was said, the worst of all the creation of Allah. They are shiraru khalqillah. So remember, morning and evening, these are two times of remembering Allah, especially morning when the sun rises, early morning, after Fajr. This is the time of remembering Allah, dhikr. This is the time of feeding the soul. Before you go have your coffee, and feed your body, feed the heart. Feed the heart. If you don't have your coffee, are you cranky? All day? Yes, you are. So likewise, if you don't get a dose of Allah's dhikr in the morning, then your heart, your soul will be cranky. Then you can't have sabr. Then you can't be patient. You can't deal with people properly. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Indeed, those who are near your Lord are not prevented by arrogance from His worship. Angels are being mentioned. That they're never too arrogant to worship Allah. No, they exalt Him. They exalt Him. يُسَبِّحُونَهُ وَلَهُ يَسْجُدُونَ. And to Him they prostrate. They do His tasbih and they also do sujood. So the angels, they never cease to worship Allah. They worship Allah without taking a break. And for us, the month of Ramadan, 30 days without a break seems daunting. But just take hope. You know, take some comfort in the fact that the angels also, what do? Consistently, without a break, they worship Allah. They worship Allah. This is 30 Jews in a row. Yes, it's difficult. Every day, not even a Sunday off, not even a Saturday off, not even a Friday off, no. So take comfort in the fact that the angels also do that. So for some days, we can also do it, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am with my servant as long as he mentions me and his lips move with my mention. As long as a person is busy in the remembrance of Allah, then Allah is with him. As long as the lips are moving with the dhikr of Allah, Allah is with the person. Allah will help him. Allah will guide him. So quietly, silently, loudly, in the heart, in the mouth, in whatever way, busy yourself in the remembrance of Allah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اُذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Do dhikr with much dhikr, with much remembrance. Meaning no matter how much dhikr you do, it's not sufficient. It's not enough. Recently we learned about saying سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ. Now we might have this challenge that I can barely say my morning adhkar. How can I say Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi 100 times in the morning and then in the evening again? And if you try doing that, you realize you're doing dhikr all the time. That is the point. That is the point. Because what is it that shields us from shaitan? It is the dhikr of Allah. Isn't it? In hadith we learned that when a person remembers Allah, shaitan moves back. But as soon as a person stops and shaitan comes again, this is why, مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. He comes again and again and gives waswasa. So fortify yourself from shaitan. How? By engaging in dhikr all the time. And never get tired of dhikr. Never think it's enough. There's always room to do more dhikr of Allah.